Hello, we are back in another podcast series for Thought Leadership ICMBA training. And this is an opportunity for us to have Dr. Goh Wei Leong here with us. Dr. Goh is from Singapore, and he's a GP in family medicine in low-income neighborhood and has been ICMBA Southeast Asia Regional Secretary for years. And he's also involved in various mission organizations like SIL and also Operation Mobilization, apart from HealthServe Singapore that he set up with some other team in Singapore, serving migrant workers and some other marginalized communities in Singapore. So it's been a blessing to talk about community again with you, Dr. Goh.
Thanks, Hedwin. So good to speak to you again.
Yes, and yeah, I want to raise up this phenomenon of that we live in a global village of 8 billion people. And we live in a country with millions or hundreds of millions of people. And we are facing currently from global to local crisis, from war to climate change, to scarcity of food, even petroleum, inflation, and then such a hostile world, and also to faith. People become atheistic, agnostic, leaving the church. We live in where medical practice is challenging, very busy, very competitive, and even the global pandemic of COVID and epidemic of loneliness. So how can we be a faithful presence in such a world, living out our faith and work seamlessly?
Yes, Henry, you're right. We really live in a very difficult world, isn't it? Volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And I think the way that people can flourish and sustain humankind, really, is in communities, and that's what we want to talk about today, isn't it? Communities are that place where we grow and we can be that faithful presence. But how do you do it? That's a big challenge for many of us.
So how can you define a community in this individualistic world?
You know, even before we define a community, we almost instinctively know what community is. But before we define that, I think I'd like to introduce a concept of covenant. We serve a covenant of God, isn't it? We know about this. And I think that's really the language and framework with which we enter and explore this idea of community. Now, the word covenant really is about in agreement, a vow, isn't it? We talk about the marriage covenant. We don't talk about marriage contract, isn't it?
Yes.
So covenant really is about relationship. And we are bound to God by covenant. And we have a covenantal relationship also with people made in the image of God. Now, with this basic relational rather than transactional language and approach, then we can enter into what we call community. A community is where people get together. And what is really community? So from a biblical understanding, the Acts chapter 2 church is one such community that we want to think about. In Acts 2, we have the church community practicing and extending hospitality, welcoming strangers, having friendships and relationships, living alongside people who are different from them. They may have disagreements, but they knew how to love their neighbor. The other concept biblically is that our God is a triune God, a Trinitarian God. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And really that's in the heart of the Christian calling. And this perfect relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is both the source and model for the way we live and experience community. So we are made for God and for one another in love. Of course, one of the problems in this is that we tend to be selfish, and when we do that, then we break this community and we reap the consequences of it. And one of the things you mentioned earlier when you talk about the context is that we live in an epidemic of loneliness. And so why has this become so? I think we live in a time in which humans assume that self displaces God in the center of our reality. When we what we really want is community. And I think in this context, ironically, even community can be about self. Let me explain. Very often we talk, oh, I love to be in community and I belong to this community. I talk about this thousands of community around the world. How do we, you know, or how each of us are a part of the community? And very often we see communities as clubs, as or even our church groups. Communities become that tool for our own good, secure, a place where we face, it's for our own comfort. So there are two types of communities that can fail and that will fall short of the full flourishing that God wants us to experience. And so the two types are, one, an individualistic approach to community, and second, the tribal approach. So in an individualistic approach to community, we see community as a means to achieve our own end, our own aspirations. So community is a place where I go, I find myself, I self-actualize, that's where I exercise my gifts and for myself, individual goals. And I think others help me get to where I want to be. So that's an individualistic approach. Sounds a bit oxymoron, but that's how sometimes we see it. The second type of community that is not good is the tribal approach. So in today's world, very polarized world, we have many communities, right, that are made up of people who think alike, look alike, dress alike. For example, doctors gather together only among doctors, or dentists, or nurses, or people who speak the same language, or same social class, same race. And I think in this approach to community, we tend to see community as homogeneous. And this, I don't think, is true community. Because then, these tribal communities exclude others. And it's also for self-preservation, it polarizes everyone. And I think this leads to a world that, that is even more broken. And so we need to rediscover what true community is.
Yeah, very challenging. Yeah, you talk about a heterogeneous approach and not individualistic approach, not to use the community for our own good, but rather to serve them.
That's right.
So the traditional idea for we are also talking about leadership, right? Leadership and community. So in the traditional idea of leadership is for the leaders to have a gathering. So gathering among leaders, among the top businessmen, or among the top leaders, among the top doctors. That is the leadership and community, the classic, the traditional concept. Yeah, the leaders mingle together, VIP room, or right. The platinum tickets for the leaders. So, this room is just for leaders. This room is just for the leaders of the organizations, and for the managers, directors. Yeah, but you mentioned about being heterogeneous. Perhaps like Jesus. So how can we live this out technically, or what's your insight on this?
Yeah, thanks for this really good question. Yes, as leaders, very often we huddle among ourselves, isn't it? And we feed each other, it's an echo chamber sometimes, and then we go with our knowledge and to give to others. But I think we miss out a lot if we do that. This heterogeneous or celebrating the diversity is a way that we can learn, not just from each other as leaders, but from the larger community which we are a part of. In John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. If you look into the Message translation by Eugene Peterson, he talks about the word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. So Jesus, the word, God, the word, moved into our neighborhood, came into our context. And this idea of moving to neighborhoods, about neighborliness, is really how do you then, within the neighborhood, practice hospitality, right? In Romans 12, 13, we talked, it talks about contributing to the needs of saints and also to seek to show hospitality. So I think when we show hospitality, when we celebrate community, we move into each other's neighborhoods, into each other's context, we then are forced or to then enjoy and to serve in a larger context. We open our doors. Mm. So going to this idea, how do we prevent ourselves from being just this elite in our community? The idea is to learn what true hospitality is, a posture of humility instead of hostility, isn't it?
Mm.
So we, for example, we can reprioritize hospitality as this extension and expression of love, of what Christian love is.
Mm.
Because love is really for our neighbors. So we have to love God and love neighbors. And that's a basic principle or framework of how we live. Love God, love neighbors. And love neighbors is powerful. In our very polarized world, there's nothing more powerful than loving our neighbors and hospitality, opening up our doors, our hearts, inviting someone for a meal or good coffee is really a very powerful message. In fact, it is a tool that can fight against the injustices of the world, the selfishness of the world. And think of all the things that are happening now. What's happening in Myanmar, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening to the increasing poverty, the gap between rich and poor. If we practice hospitality in its truest form, if every Christian, if every believer, if every child of God practices hospitality, can you imagine what the world might look like? So I think community, it is something really very special.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Goh. Of course, this is an ICMBA program, and you know that ICMBA is quite homogeneous. We're consisting of Christian doctors and dentists. So how should we balance those approach in having our community among ourselves, but also to practice hospitality to, I mean, we cannot deny that ICMBA might be sounds exclusive. So how can we balance that exclusivity that maybe we need for teaching, for maybe helping one another or empowering one another, and also that inclusivity of everybody, of practicing hospitality of everybody?
Sure, this is a wonderful question. I mean, that is a struggle I have, being part of the ICMDA or the CMDF for that matter, right? Christian Medical Dental is almost exclusive. You're right. One of the ways which we struggled with that really was the setting up of HealthServe. So HealthServe really is founded over coffee and meals around the table. So what we did in HealthServe Singapore was to, apart from providing medical services to migrant, low-wage migrant workers from Bangladesh and from India and from China, from people, serving people who are different than us, who are from a different social class, different ethnic group, or different religion, we also have meals with them.
Mm.
What we did was we sat around tables, and when you share a meal with a low-wage worker, you give him, you share, you eat from the same dish, of course, before COVID, and, there's something very powerful. We call him by name, and he calls me by name. That really breaks, I think, that hierarchy which we have and the exclusiveness that sometimes inevitably comes in our professional circles. So as doctors and dentists, we must deliberately, we must make that first step in coming down, in taking away some of our maybe pride or even unconscious class difference and come and share meals. That's one way. So maybe and that's really part of hospitality. How do we create a safe space, a safe and spacious space? And I think we need to realize that doctors are not right the apex of a community. We are, but a part of a larger ecosystem. Doctors, you know, janitors, teachers, lawyers, migrant workers, everyone, housewives, homemakers. So we are not just the best, right? I think we need to understand the ecosystem concept. So ecosystems are important so that we are not, we do not feed our pride.
Yes.
We do not feed our pride. And so some ways that we can do that will be, as I mentioned, meals and all that. So there will be some elements required for that.
So thank you for that. So then what does living and engaging in real, authentic community looks like? And how might we do it?
Well, I think flourishing will look really vibrant. People loving one another, sharing, caring, you know, celebrating the victories and also crying together in times of pain and need and distress. So the whole humanity coming together and that's expressed in individual communities. Now, how to do it really, it is tough. But over the years, I've learned 3 or 4 basic stuff, things that are important in this. Maybe I'll call it disciplines. So the first one really is time. Second is about food. And the third one is about silence.
Interesting. So, food, man.
Time is really important. Now, this time I have with you, Edwin, is really quite special. And I think one of the things I enjoy really in community is in the ICMDA community is time I spend, you know, talking and relating to you, to the Indonesians, to the people in Southeast Asia. So time, so space for relating, space for connection, space for hospitality is important. And to slow down, to enjoy just a cup of coffee or a long walk by the beach or just some quiet, maybe, you know, having time. I think in today's world, we want speed and efficiency. We want, let's get it quickly done. We you know, all this is really about individualism, isn't it? I want it the best and quickly. I want the KPIs done. And we're all like-minded. Let's get it done fast. I think how do we look beyond that? I think time really is the essence here. Slowing down and being able to enjoy one another since we are made in the image of God and time needed to experience God. The second one I talk about is food. Now, this seems almost too basic, isn't it? How do we, you know, the meals we had, Edwin, isn't it, with when we traveled to meet the different groups in Southeast Asia? I think one of the most memorable times are the meals we shared. And very often, sharing a slow meal together. So food is as though we are around a sacred table, around culture and community. And very often when we have food that are light, locally produced, for example, food that are not fast food, food that's grown from, you know, from your garden. I remember in my home church, we had used to have a little vegetable patch. And when we cook vegetables from that vegetable patch, the sweet potato leaves, it tasted different. Now, I could have easily bought that from a supermarket, right? Much more cost-effective and all. But sometimes the food that we grow ourselves, the herbs we grow ourselves, can connect us with God and with one another in a very special way. So that's food. Now, the third, I think, very important discipline is really this silence. I'm quite extroverted and I think I love lots of people energize me, but over the years, I realized that silence really is important. In our noisy world, especially with the online world, lots of entertainment and silence almost is quite frightening, isn't it? It is, and yet I think silence is that opening a means for us to discover the mystery of God, the mystery of our lives, and how we can enter into imagination and creativity as believers. And I think that's something we miss as community. So if community can be that place where we enjoy and experience practice silence, it can be that opening for the voice of nature, for our neighbors to talk, creating a space for thought and depth, and for us to understand God. And for example, the practice of Sabbath and silence comes together, isn't it? And so I think in our highly entertained world where we want to be entertained, even in our religious circles, in our Christian circles, sometimes we want to be entertained, right? But could we find some time for silence? So food, time, and silence are, I think, quite important for us to create a sense of deep community and also to have that social reordering.
Yeah, it's very contradictory to our anxious world. We are living in such a busy world where everything seems to move very quickly. And I think all the participants here will have hundreds, thousands of emails unreplied. And we have so many to-do lists. We have so many involvement. And I think everybody is very anxious for everything. So what's your comment on that?
Wow. I think you brought up something very important in today's world. I think we live in highly anxious systems, isn't it? Yes. Where in our hospitals, our patients, there's a long line waiting of patients waiting to see us. Our bosses are hounding us. Our families are back home waiting for us for dinner. We've got our readings to do. We've got this podcast to attend or to listen to. You know, we live in highly anxious system. There is intense emotional activity. There is sometimes we need to have quick fixes. We, you know, and I think in highly anxious systems, sometimes we respond by perhaps freezing. We just freeze up. Oh, we don't know what to do. Right? So many things, I freeze up. Or we can go into flight. We run away. Or sometimes we just fight with one another. Or worse still, we just faint, isn't it? But what do we as in people as image bearers do, when we have the Holy Spirit in us, how do we respond? How do people experience us as followers of Jesus in a highly anxious system? So I'd like to introduce this idea of each of us being a non-anxious presence. Now, can you imagine what it will be when you and I walk into a very highly stressed situation in the emergency department, right? Or in our lecture theater or in our discussions. And we walk in and right away, we become that non-anxious presence. What if our brothers and sisters, all Christians, all brothers and sisters, in every difficult situation, the moment they're present, the people around them experience a non-anxious presence from them? So I think we could be that, isn't it? And for example, we can practice that when we are in highly anxious systems, like in the ED department, we could say words that are calming. We can be less reactive. We should not let our anger overrule us. And I think the way people experience us would really make such a difference. It will open a door to our hearts. It will help them open up. It will help them experience Jesus in community. And all this, if we are all able to be non-anxious presence in our anxious world, then our community will be so attractive. People will love to be part of it because that's where they find a safe space to discover themselves, to discover God, to serve one another. And then, from a medical lens, I think there's wholeness and well-being if we become that non-anxious presence.
Yeah. Sometimes it's quite dilemmatic, you know, because in this hyper-connected world, it likes force us to live in multiple communities. like all seems to demand our attention, like you have mentioned before. So maybe we need to be selective. How can we learn to be selective in investing our effort or our attention?
Wow. This is a perpetual question for folks like yourself and myself, isn't it? We have so many friends, so many networks. And so how do you do that? Well, my personal mantra, which I took from someone called Sheridan Vose, is this. Here's this quote. I want to serve all I can and walk deeply with a few. Serve all I can, walk deeply with a few. And I think that has really helped me. So I serve all I can. I, you know, serve with my heart, soul, and mind, loving my neighbor as myself. And yet I will walk deeply with a few that the Lord has given to my life and in my community. Because in our communities, we can never walk deeply with everyone. That's not possible. Yet we can serve everyone in love. But, you know, the true depth and meaning will come when we walk deeply with a few that God has given to us, has assigned us. And when each of us do that, together we will build and grow a community that is flourishing.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Goh. We have approached the end of our podcast. Do you have some closing statements for our participants here?
Well, I think, you know, it's a joy that I can be part of this larger ICMD community, even though I've not met many of the participants. But, you know, I think we're bound by the love of God. And I think that really is a true community because of my relationship with God. I can have this relationship with one another, even though I've not met. And I think that sense of community, in a you know, it has got cosmic dimensions. And I think we our community that God gives us as children of God, knowing that we are God's beloved, is really important. So knowing our place in the ecosystem, knowing that we are God's beloved, will ground us deeply as we contribute, as we live, as we experience community. So, remember that we are God's beloved.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Goh. And we have captured a lot of learning and conclusions. I think you might have different conclusions than me, and you might have different keywords, but I found personally some of the keywords that I want to highlight at the end of this podcast, that is covenant. Not a contract, but covenant. Not a transaction, but not transactional, but relational. So how we try to do our relationship based on covenant, based on relational. And we remembered again the words, the very basic word of love, Christian love. How to practice love to our neighbor, how to practice hospitality and humility, how to celebrate diversity in our community, how to intentionally practice inclusivity. So we avoid being exclusive by intentionally practice that inclusivity and hospitality. And then that relationship takes time, and there are three disciplines that Dr. Goh mentioned about time, food, and silence, keeping your Sabbath, keeping your priorities. And then remember to be non-anxious presence wherever you go. Being someone who can give that sense of peace, even in a busy and very anxious system, but you can bring that presence of peace, of shalom, and that non-anxious presence. And the last one is to serve all I can and walk deeply with a few. So thank you all for listening, and may you have a good time of reflecting and try to apply these principles in your life. And hope you enjoy the course and the next series of podcasts. So Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.